glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. You know, Butch, this is my third day in a row here in the Springfield studios. I'm really kind of making myself at home here. What do you think?
Well, you are. Yeah, I think we might start charging your rent.
Yeah, that's right. I need to get like a shower and a bathroom all set off.
We can do that.
Yeah, you guys are very accommodating. In fact,
wonderful.
I know you and the whole team were working hard the last week or so with our Big God, Bright Future, Blessed Opportunities, putting that together, putting the labels on, the stamps on the envelopes, collating, including a few things, and sending that off. We've been getting lots of great responses. And thank you for the additional work that you've been doing. You've been kind of taking various shifts, but 3 to 5 every day, and the prayer ministry that you've been involved in. And thank you, God, for all of our answered prayers. We can't really take credit for it because God delights in you and he wants you around. But I remember when we had a special lunch and you just weren't, you were yourself, your cheery, good disposition, good comebacks, lots of humor. I mean, we had a fun time, but Joyce said he wasn't tracking so well like usual.
Sure.
And sure enough, the next day you're in the hospital because you had some heart pains.
Yeah, I just had some fairly significant heartburn that was unusual from anything I'd ever had. So Nancy and I made our way over to Memorial Emergency, and they did some tests, and it was determined that I did have a heart issue, and it's the left anterior descending widowmaker artery, 95% blocked, we found out the next day. So I was very fortunate, and I was blessed that the Lord, I heeded his warning.
Yeah, and you did what many men oftentimes don't do, is heed the warning. They just kind of keep doing what they're doing. Oh, I'm just a little fatigued.
Exactly.
And then, you know, lo and behold, that can be very serious and unto death. So we're grateful. And
Amen.
It was kind of interesting. You spent a few days at the hospital. You got home. And I think I was right on you. Are you ready to do our Zoom meeting devotional thought? So, you know, you healed up pretty good.
Yeah,
I know you had a lot of people praying.
Yeah, I'm in therapy for about 12 weeks now, physical therapy. It's going well. And yeah, I'm feeling really good.
Yeah, you're looking good, and your color's totally back. Your humor's, I don't think, ever left you. I think a few days, even in the hospital, I think I texted you a time or two, and we were back and forth with some good ones.
Some repartee there, yes.
So we appreciate you, and as mentioned, day 3 here in the Springfield studios. Just love the accommodations, love the WLUJ Family Station listeners and their support, their involvement in the open house and the other things we hope to do in the days ahead. And I just thought, being here, again, Marianne kind of gets the day off. She's working on other projects, but I thought you're going to be our reader for the day.
That'll be terrific.
Prime Life Times in Review. We have an article written by Roger Weisgarver, musically speaking, so we're going to have you read that. But we chose the verse today to open up the program because it's referenced in this article.
That's right.
And I have a special song by Steve Green that will follow this reading, but I just wanted to alert our listeners, please continue to pray up Leonard. We know him as Butch, but he's a delight. He's been involved in this radio ministry for a number of years. A lot of the behind-the-scenes work, as you know, he's known as the maker of the world's famous Italian beef.
There
I kind of named you that. You know, he's made that for many a share-a-thon. And
I might be eating a little bit less of that right now with changes.
I know. I tried to entice you with the donuts, and you showed great restraint. I brought donuts for everyone today.
We won't talk about what happened yesterday.
But you did great with the donuts. You just passed them up, and these were good.
Yeah, they were custard filled
and filled with all sorts of good fixings on top. So, but I thank God for you, as our
team does. Thank you very much.
Prayers have been answered, and we do pray that any of you that are showing some kind of heart issue or some discomfort or any other kind of problems, follow up on that, get to the hospital,
Amen.
Get checked
Absolutely.
out.
Absolutely.
So this article in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the January edition, musically speaking, by Roger Weisgarvey, he picked out a special person that was well known and created the song and actually wrote it as a poem, and then it turned into the song, Search Me, O God. We'll play that, but I wanted you to learn a little about the song and the maker of it, J. Edwin Orr, and Butch is going to read this section.
James Edwin Orr was one of five children born to William Stuart Orr and Rose Orr in 1912 in Belfast, Ireland. His jeweler father held both British and American citizenship.
Now, you got to say British. My daughter goes all around the house all the time. She gets her British accent just, oh, Dad, don't be that way, or however it is.
You didn't tell me I had to do that.
That's right.
Orr studied at Belfast College of Technology. In about 1930, after working as a bakery clerk, Orr began his preaching career in Belfast, holding open-air meetings. In 1937, he married Ivy Carlson, with whom he would have four children. The Orrs traveled preaching in Australia, China, Canada, and the United States. He journaled and later wrote accounts of his preaching tours. Orr later graduated from Northwest University and Northern Baptist Seminary. He was ordained as a Baptist pastor in Newark, New Jersey. During World War II, Orr served as a chaplain in the U.S. Army Air Forces, serving with the 13th Air Force in the Bismarck Archipelago, New Guinea, and in campaigns in Borneo, the Philippines, Luzon, and China. He earned 7 battle stars and ended the war with the rank of major. After the war, he continued his studies, earning his Ph.D. at Oxford University in 1948. In 1949, he and his wife made the United States their permanent base, though he would continue to travel throughout the world, promoting church revival and renewal. The Orrs would eventually conduct services in 150 countries.
And there's a great picture of him. You know, that's picture out of the, I don't know, the 60s or 50s.
I think maybe a little earlier, but yes, you're exactly right. Orr was influential in Campus Crusade for Christ, and he served on their board. In 1966, he was appointed professor at the School of World Missions of Fuller Theological Seminary, Pasadena, California. He remained a professor there until 1981, when he retired and was honored as Professor Emeritus of History of Religious Revivals in the Protestant World. Despite these numerous lifelong accomplishments, J. Edwin Orr will no doubt be best remembered as author of the simple text of this revival hymn, Search Me, O God. He also authored numerous books. Orr wrote the poem for Search Me, O God text in 1936 during an intense movement of the Holy Spirit at an Easter revival convention in Ngarawahia, New Zealand. As he left New Zealand...
Were you there?
As he left New Zealand, 4 Maori girls sang him a beautiful song, Farewell.
Hey, come in, Maori girls, and sing Butcher's song now.
Yeah,
I brought him in for you.
There you go. Oh, thank you so much. Moved by the beauty of that simple melody, Orr based his poem on Psalm 139, 23 through 24, and set it to that Maori melody, Search me, O God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. Mm. One verse reads, Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Mm.
Orr preached throughout the English-speaking world, spreading his lovely hymn wherever he went. A renowned scholar and evangelist, Orr was also a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society, the Royal Historical Society, and the Royal Society of Literature. He was a member of the American Geographical Society. He died in 1987 at the age of 75.
Mm.
Orr touched thousands through his campaigns, his worldwide travel, his family, his writings, and of course, his best-known hymn, Search Me, O God, which still touches souls today.
And there's a picture of Roger Weisgarber.
Yeah, there is.
Who lives and resides in Monticello, Illinois. That's where he's a resident. He combines his interest in music and history as he writes about music of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Contact Roger at roger_weisgarber@msn.com. And here's Steve Green singing the song that was penned originally as a poem by J. Edwin Orr, but Search Me, O God. Here's Steve Green.
Search me, O God. Reveal my heart, expose my sin that it may be confessed. Search me, O God, unveil each thought, and leave no hidden motive unaddressed. Uncover every action born in pride. Show me the worldly ways I still embrace. May every anxious thought be brought to light, and each unspoken with faith replaced. Search me, O God, observe my life. Bring to my mind each idle word I speak. Search me, O God, test my resolve, and alert me where you find it weak. Reveal all weak end walls within my soul. Show me potential dangers unforeseen. Then clothe my conscience with your holiness. Help me to guard it well and keep it clean. Search me,
with Steve Green, Search Me, O God, to go along with this great article written by Roger Weisgarber, who is our chaplain for the Singing Men of GNN. And we'll start up rehearsals in a couple more weeks, the first Monday in February. So men, if you have a desire to sing and declare the wonders of God, come join us at the Great News Media Center in Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And also tomorrow at the Great News Media Center, we're having our community-wide prayer gathering. We usually average 15, 20, 30, 40 different people representing 25 different churches. If you like to pray and spend some time with other like-minded believers that are enthusiastic for the Lord, come join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Great News Media Center. It's Thursday night. We meet on the first and third Thursday of every month. And so put that on your schedule and come join us. It's a great time of worship and prayer.
Amen.
So Now, this one is a throwback to the 60s. It's under the heading 60s Flashback. Let's pull the job. You know, it's maybe not the best.
We're kind of going from the sublime to the ridiculous, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit.
This is by Randall C. Hill. He's a very gifted writer, and many times he'll feature something from the 60s, something that's familiar. Did you ever have those, what were those posters on the wall with the dark light posters or something?
Oh, black light
that's what
posters.
It is. Or, you know, they had one of those lava things you'll see on the picture.
Yes, those
or,
were the days, 60s and 70s.
Yeah. But this is with Lester, Bishop, Davis, Sinatra, and Martin. And, you know, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank
Peter
Sinatra.
Walker, Joy Bishop.
So it's called Let's Pull the Job. And you were saying beforehand when I pointed it out, maybe you'd read this too. You said,
sure.
You know, when I was around 12, what was it?
Something like that. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, it was about that age because I remember when that movie came out, and of course, everybody was familiar with the Rat Pack, you know, that group of guys. They were, of course, very famous entertainers. I thought, well, gee, I'd like to see that movie. So, you know, we lived about 8 blocks from downtown, and movie was about 35 cents then.
For some of our younger listeners, $0.35
Something like that. Yeah, you know, it was very, very cheap because it had to be at 12 when I didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I didn't get popcorn or anything. I went and saw the movie. And I think I went, seriously, I went like 5 or 6 days in a row, and I just really enjoyed it. It was neat, this caper of robbing all these casinos in Las Vegas. No good Christian entertainment there, you know.
During those formative years, but you turned out pretty good.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, right.
But this is entitled Let's Pull the Job. It's in our January edition of the Prime Lifetimes, and it is one of these 60 flashbacks.
Let's Pull the Job by Randall C. Hill. Las Vegas takes our money, sure. But what if the tables were suddenly turned and we took their money? Who wouldn't enjoy that? Mm-hmm. Well, in 1958, actor Peter Lawford paid $10,000 for a story idea that a movie director pal claimed to have heard from a gas station attendant. Lawford then approached his fellow members of the celebrated Rat Pack. The men preferred the more dignified nickname, The Summit, which included Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Joey Bishop. Lawford shared a proposal about using the idea for a heist caper film set in Sin City. When he heard the concept, Sinatra joked, "Forget the movie, let's pull the job." The Ocean's 11 plotline became a setup for the 5 hard-drinking, chain-smoking, dame-chasing headliners to make whoopee on screen, which they did with ease and aplomb as they ad-libbed many of their lines. The premise of the Gather the Guys yarn stars Old Blue Eyes as leader Danny Ocean. He has assembled a squad of Army veteran paratrooper pals for a civilian commando raid in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve. Each participant exudes a different level of passion, and each has a personal reason to be involved. One hopes to help his wife. Another is terminally ill and wants to provide for his kids' college tuition. Yet another sees a chance to buy his way out of a mundane life that includes driving a truck. The plan was to simultaneously cut off the electricity at midnight at 5 major casinos, the Sahara, the Riviera, the Desert Inn, the Sands, and the Flamingo. The thieves would then break into the casino cages, stuff $5 million in cash into trash cans, and have one of the raiders drive a treasure-laden garbage truck out of town and into hiding. But to prove that crime never pays, one of the 11 scofflaws unexpectedly dies, and a monkey wrench is tossed into the mechanism of the perfect plan. Sinatra and Martin earned the lion's share of screen time together, with Frank once saying, "You know, sometimes I think the only reason I got into this caper was to see you again." Cameo appearances weave through the story and include such icons as Shirley MacLaine, Red Skelton, Angie Dickinson, and George Raft. Filming often took place in Las Vegas in short bursts during the daytime before the superstars appeared on stage to perform for the likes of JFK and other celebrities of the time. The original Ocean's 11 became one of Warner Brothers' most profitable pictures upon its August 1960 release. And though some of the movie critics harumped the tale as immoral, most reviewers declared it a romp and quite a clever scheme.
Well, and they've remade it, you know, popularized it in our day and age.
The original Ocean's 11 is now a low-tech time capsule that delights to this day, and it allows us to appreciate larger-than-life fellows with oversized personalities who try to live life by their own rules. Check out this classic. It's one of the reasons we once loved going to the cinema. And you know the reason for that is the language isn't there that you would hear today. But one of the bad parts is women are treated as dolls or babes, you know, and that's not good. Yeah. But it, from today's standards, it's pretty innocuous.
Yeah, they were so famous at the time, and Red Skeleton was a part of it, so he brought some redemptive humor into the whole thing.
His cameo appearance was hilarious.
And they did the remakes, and I don't know, they're like Ocean 11, 12,
Ocean's 11, and 12, Brad Pitt and George Clooney and whoever they had in, but couldn't compare to the original.
Something just about that old black and white and original cast and such. And I was thinking, at first when I saw this, I thought it was from Larry Stevens, because he always does movie reviews. In fact, on page 812, he does a movie review on 310 to Yuma, 1957, kind of one of those cowboy.
Yeah.
But he always does much more G or PG-13 at the most. And it always gives a good insight into some of the movie reviews. I would have been interested to see what he would have said about this one. But it's a classic from the 60s.
And the one he did on 310 to Yuma was on the 1957 version or the new version?
1957 version.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, because there was a remake on that with Russell Crowe and somebody else.
Wow, you might be
I'm not. I just happen to remember that. I don't really follow it that much, but you just caught me in a moment when I had the answer.
Well, thank you, Butch, for joining me today for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And tomorrow, Donna Leland will be filling in and playing some great music. And we just appreciate her devotional thoughts, insights, her heart for the listener. And then on Friday, we'll have our group of special guests that'll talk through the topic of witnessing and making a difference. And wherever you go, proclaiming that good news message of Jesus, Pastor Jason Schiffel will facilitate that. So, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition. Marianne will be back next week, and we'll have some cheery, good conversations with her. And thank you again, Butch. Listener, keep praying him up in the days ahead. We like having him around. He's a real gift to our team here in Springfield. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Butch Stillwell with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Bye-bye.